I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday. Monday at 1 means all things political, which is coming up in just a moment. And we have so much to talk about. The Wisconsin news, the Supreme Court declined to reopen the long-stalled investigation into Scott Walker's 2012 campaign recall effort. This permanently ends. It puts an end to the John Doe probe. A lot going on over the weekend. Big story in the New York Times documents sent to the New York Times, and the person who wrote the story said, be sure and always check your mail. She sits very close to her mailbox. Always check your mail. So we were looking Saturday and Sunday and into today about the losses that he took so early, so large in the early 1990s that he won't have to pay or wouldn't have to pay federal and New York State income taxes on nearly $1 billion in income, and that could have lasted him some 18 years. We'll talk about the response to that. Hillary Clinton, a hacked recording of a private conversation with campaign donors in February shows that Hillary Clinton distanced herself from progressive goals like free college and healthcare, and we'll talk about what some commentators are saying about this race. E.J. Dionne, who's a pretty thoughtful guy, had some really scathing comments yesterday. We'll talk about those and listen to your thoughts about where this campaign stands a month before we go to the polls. Craig Gilbert is going to be joining us momentarily. He is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's very good at what he does, and he'll be with us in a moment. But first, ta-da, this is our fall pledge drive. And joining me in our studios, the wonderfully welcome face and person of John Munson, who is with me. Hello, John.
Hello, Kathleen.
Thank you for being with us.
Really happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here. You count on us for all of these issues. We're in an election year, for heaven's sake. Think of how informed you are and how you have a chance to talk about all that's on your mind. We count on you to keep all of the discussions that we have all day long on the air. So we ask you, please, to give WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is the number.
Well, Kathleen, we have some work to do this
hour. All right, let's do it.
We have a goal of 30 pledges.
Ooh.
Last hour, we had 11 pledges, so thank you so much for those. But this hour, the goal is 30, and you can help us make these hourly goals. They are important because, well, they help us stay on track financially, so we can keep these discussions, the ones that you enjoy so much on the Kathleen Dunn Show and other programs, going strong here on WPR. So what we're asking you to do is to just take a moment. That's all it takes, just a moment, to support the programs with your gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And asking for your support for all things political. We've been at this for a long, long time, and we love this hour. Did you know that really a large slice, a lot of people don't know this, John, I'm sure that you know that a lot of people are not aware that a large piece of our pie, the biggest slice actually, is listener supported. So while all of our funding sources, we've got the state, federal governments, businesses, they're very important, but your contribution makes a huge difference. We are the amazing service that we are thanks to you. So give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And who doesn't like pie? I mean, after all.
I love pie.
Where's the pie? Yeah, you know, and well, let's have budget pie for dessert today. And you get the biggest slice. So, okay, so now you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You might be looking for a way that, that can fit into your budget. Well, here's the answer to that. Become a sustainer. You decide a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
Being a sustainer is really a very powerful way of donating. It provides reliable funding for WPR, and it's also pretty convenient, and it's affordable for you. You choose a monthly amount, $10, $20 a month, and you become a sustainer right away. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs you love, and sometimes you just can't resist asking for the latest WPR logo thank you gift. This drive, we've got something pretty cool, the WPR Day Pack. Give $15 a month or more and ask for this handy bag. It can be worn like a tote on your shoulder, or it turns into a backpack. It's medium-sized, great for day trips. Take it to a park, on a hike, stuff it with groceries, your gym clothes, hopefully not at the same time. Use it as your commuter bag. The options really are endless. It's gray with black detail featuring the WPR and NPR logos. Check it out at WPR.org. Ask for this versatile bag and show your support for WPR when you give $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your donation in support of all of the programs you count on WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and we are here to raise the money that keeps our station, this program, on the air. Your pledge might be $5 a month, or it might be $100 a month. We really do appreciate it. And I got to tell you, we count on your gift.
Well, and if you're wondering how you know it's time to donate to WPR, well, first of all, this is a day that ends in Y, so that makes it a great time to donate to WPR. And you're listening right now during You're listening right now during our fall membership drive. And whether you tune in for one favorite program, maybe Kathleen Dunn is destination listening for you, or you find yourself checking in repeatedly throughout the day or week, you have made a habit of listening.
Now we just ask you to make a habit of giving. Listener support is the single largest piece of our budget, and it means that we can bring you all of the programs. This is a remarkable service, and many of you have come to rely on it. It's easy to become a new member. Get started right now with your gift of $5 or $10 a month. Again, it's WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we know it's important to keep you informed on the latest in the presidential race. And in just a moment, Kathleen will be covering all of that and all things political, and you'll have a chance to weigh in as well. So we cover the national candidates when they're in Wisconsin. We send reporters to big events like party conventions, and we cover local and statewide races.
And we have great election night coverage as
well.
We really cover this state like nobody else does. We're committed to bringing you all of the latest election news, and it really does, as John said, it takes a lot of resources, so your support is very helpful. It makes the coverage that you count on and the coverage that you trust actually possible. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
30 pledges, that's what we need to be before the end of this hour. Make your support to the station you love, your public radio.
And thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy. Make your contribution at this very moment. Why not? WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You might feel like WPR is worth $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's face it. You don't have that much to give. Well, don't worry. Your gift of any amount, whether it's $5 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount is comfortable for you, is the right amount to give. The important thing is that you make that pledge right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we're looking. We'd like to get the hour rolling here. We have 30 pledges to go and about, I can never get the time right. How many minutes left?
However many minutes there are.
All right.
Until
Thank
we're
you,
done.
John. Okay. Until the top of the hour. So
there
your
you
gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really does help.
And remember, this pledge drive, you can ask for the WPR Day Pack. It's a neat, handy bag with both the WPR and NPR logos. And it's yours for a pledge of $15 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $180. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Please think of becoming a sustaining member. You can set up a convenient and ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or credit card. Do it at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Ellen and Myrtle from Madison say, "We listen to WPR every day and do what we can to provide support. Thank you for being there." Well, Ellen and Myrtle, thank you for being there. And you can join them at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
All things political. Now, we have so much to talk about. It's been a weekend, probably starting with 3:20 a.m. on Friday with one of Donald Trump's tweets. We have news today, which just broke recently from the Washington Post, that the New York Attorney General has notified Donald Trump his charitable foundation is violating state law and ordered the charity to stop its fundraising immediately, the Attorney General's office said. The big story over the weekend, which continues to be big, documents sent to the New York Times starting like this. Now we know Donald J. Trump racked up losses so huge in the early 1990s he wouldn't have had to pay federal or New York State income tax on nearly $1 billion in income. Rudy Giuliani responded, "This man's a genius. He knows how to operate the tax code for the people he's serving, acted as any responsible American businessman would to save money for his enterprises." Bernie Sanders said the tax disclosure illustrated the unfair advantage given to wealthy Americans. The rich are getting richer. Almost everybody else is getting poorer. And then we had the series of tweets from Donald Trump starting at 3:20 a.m. Friday, including some about Alicia Machado. "Did crooked Hillary help disgusting parentheses check out sex tape and passed in parentheses Alicia M becoming U.S. citizen so she could use her in the debate? A hacked recording of a private conversation with campaign donors in February shows Hillary Clinton distanced herself from progressive goals like free college and health care. She described herself as spanning from the center left to the center right." Bernie Sanders is coming to Wisconsin on Wednesday. Craig Gilbert is our guest. He's on with us frequently. He is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Washington Bureau Chief, and he writes the Wisconsin Voter blog about politics and elections. Has had some very interesting writing lately about Waukesha and Trump's support being somewhat soft in Waukesha. We'll talk about that and many other issues. Craig, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Nice to be with you.
Well, it's just one thing every single day, isn't it?
It is. It's been one of those campaigns, one of those years.
Yeah, is it ever one of those years? Let's start with the big story over the weekend from the documents that were sent to the New York Times. Is it, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, but he has said that he will file suit against the Times. Are they on shaky legal ground here in publishing what evidently is true about his taxes?
Yeah, I think there's some gray area here. I mean, there's definitely on the face of it, they could be subject to penalties or some sort of prosecution. On the other hand, it would be unusual, to say the least, to see a media outlet prosecuted, if that's the right word, for revealing information like this about a public figure, including a presidential candidate. So I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the answer to the question. I think there's some gray area here in the law. It's kind of an unprecedented situation politically, obviously, for one reason, because we haven't had this issue because presidential candidates have released at least some tax information in the past.
Right. How do you think, I don't know if there's any way to know this, because he has said some pretty dramatic and somewhat outrageous things, and it doesn't seem to have affected him at all. On this particular issue, do you think people will cheer and say, listen, you used all the tax codes to your advantage, this is okay, this is what you should do? As Rudy Giuliani said, it makes him smart to do this.
So I think his hardcore supporters may look at it that way, but you know, we do have a lot of people late in this race having trouble making up their minds, and I would disagree with one thing you said, which is that he said a lot of outrageous things and it never seems to hurt him. I mean, he is the most unpopular nominee in modern polling history. So even though he is in a competitive contest for president, that's partly because obviously Hillary Clinton has her own liabilities that show up in the opinion polling, but I don't think you can say it hasn't hurt him. I mean, for one thing, his personal numbers, the percentage of people who view him negatively, is extremely high, and it's much more than a simple majority of the electorate. For another, I mean, you could argue, given Hillary Clinton's own weaknesses and given the fact that there's kind of a natural tendency for voters after 8 years of one party controlling the White House to want change, that he should be winning this race, that a normal Republican candidate would be winning this race, but he's not. And so I think the controversies that his statements and his rhetoric have generated on the campaign trail, I think you could make a pretty good case, have hurt him whether they've driven his numbers down or just prevented him from catching Hillary Clinton in this race, that has an effect.
Mm-hmm. We haven't seen, I don't know where they are, but we haven't seen many big poll numbers from last week's debate. Before, around that time, it was only about a 2.3, maybe 3-point lead for Hillary Clinton nationally. So what is it, when you talk about her liabilities, they must be pretty substantial, Craig, for the race to be this close.
Well, yes and no. So they are substantial. They're not quite as substantial as his. But I think that's only one explanation for the race being as close as it is. I mean, I think there are other explanations, and those include the fact that we're so polarized, that it's almost guarantees we're so divided along party lines that almost anyone the two parties nominate is going to get the vast majority of voters in who affiliate or who identify with that party. So that gives each candidate a built-in base of support. It guarantees a certain level of competitiveness, and it also means you're very, very, very unlikely to have the kinds of landslides that Reagan had, that Nixon had, and that Lyndon Johnson had. That's just almost off the table because so many fewer voters are going to cross over and vote for the candidate in the other party. So I think the polarization, I think the fact that this, you know, is kind of a natural sort of change election, which should put the incumbent party at a disadvantage, and Hillary Clinton's own negatives are all working to keep this race close.
Mm-hmm. Why haven't we seen any polls from the debate?
We have seen some. I mean, there was a CNN sort of snapshot poll. I think there have been some national polls since then and state polls that have asked about the debate, and I think most of the evidence is that the debate was harmful to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. You wrote recently about Donald Trump's support. We talk about Waukesha as being so important in the state of Wisconsin, that his base support in that county in Wisconsin, important to him, is rather soft. Can you explain that further?
Yeah, this was the part of the state where Donald Trump got absolutely annihilated in the Republican presidential primary in April. He lost. There's these three counties we're all familiar with, Waukesha, Washington, and Ozaukee, which are the three most Republican counties in Wisconsin. They're right on the periphery of Milwaukee County. They're suburban, they're conservative, they're overwhelmingly white, they're above average in income and education, and they tend to be this part of the state. Those counties and the counties on their periphery are the ones that decide Republican primaries in Wisconsin because they turn out at such high rates, and they're so Republican, and they're fairly populist. So Donald Trump, you had the oddity in the primary of Donald Trump doing his absolute worst among Republican voters in the most Republican part of the state, in the most important Republican counties, and he hasn't really recovered from that, in the sense that you see in the polling and you see in talking to voters kind of lingering reservations, lingering struggles on the part of Republican voters who clearly don't like Hillary Clinton by overwhelming margins, but who would really want to vote for the Republican nominee, and they're having trouble doing that. So you have a high number, unusually high number of undecided Republican voters in that part of the state who just are torn. They're not happy with any of their options. And I mean, I certainly found that to be the case when I spent some time late August in Waukesha County, just going door to door, talking to voters. You certainly see it in the polling, where basically, if you take the polling since August or since July or since June, and you look at, there's enough polling that Marquette does, and Waukesha County is big enough that you can actually get a meaningful sample of voters. And basically, you know, Ron Johnson's winning his Senate race against Russ Feingold in these bedrock Republican counties by 30 points, but Donald Trump's only winning by 15 in the same counties over Hillary Clinton, which isn't nearly enough for a Republican in Wisconsin.
Yeah. One, we're going to invite phone calls. I just want to ask you about the series of tweets from Donald Trump that have been all over the news starting when he gave them. He started at 3:20 a.m. on Friday. And he's kind of been obsessed, I'm not sure why, with Alicia Machado. One of his tweets, quote, "Did crooked Hillary help disgusting, check out sex tape and past, Alicia M. become a U.S. citizen so she could use her in the debate. I mean, and he's talked about her just ceaselessly since the debate. E.J. Dionne, who's a pretty measured guy, writes in the Washington Post yesterday, and I want your response to this, that a political party, a political system, and a media blessed with broad constitutional freedoms have allowed a man like this to get so close to the presidency should be a matter for serious introspection. That is a belief that's shared by others who share EJ's political persuasion, but it's a fairly serious comment.
Yeah, I mean, when I hear somebody say, you know, the media has allowed this to happen in the context of an election, it gives me it gives me pause, because it's, you're basically saying that the media should somehow. I mean, you're not just saying the media should be doing its job. I think he's saying more than that. I think he's saying the media should somehow have prevented Donald Trump from doing as well as he's done. And I think that's a little bit problematic. I mean, not to say that the media is above criticism, and that's fine. But to blame the media for Donald Trump's nomination and for, you know, the fact that this has been a somewhat competitive race seems to overlook a lot of other people. And obviously, if you're a Donald Trump supporter, you would not even frame the question that way in terms of blame. But if you're a Donald Trump critic and you're looking for reasons, for reasons why Donald Trump got the Republican nomination, this is our political process, and he did get a lot of votes, and it wasn't like there was never a negative story written about him. You can certainly question the media's obsession with Donald Trump, but the fact is, Donald Trump, you know, by any definition, was big news. So I think you have to think about what you're asking the media to be doing differently than it did.
We're going to welcome phone calls for Craig, and we'll take them momentarily. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Craig Gilbert is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We have mostly talked about the national news. There's also quite a bit of state news today with a John Doe probe over now. Supreme Court not taking the case. We'll ask Craig about that and other issues. Our phone number, again, 800-486-8655. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a busy hour. In addition to all things political, we're also in our fall membership drive, and your support is the foundation of this hour and all the hours that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's what makes this station your go-to place for great programs. John Munson is with me in our studio in Milwaukee right now to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your gift in support of all the programs that you count on.
Well, Kathleen, we need to be encouraging to 26 more people who make a pledge this hour so that we can stay on track for this pledge drive. Your support is what keeps this radio station, this radio service going strong. Help pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We all crave substantial conversations and material. It can be hard to find sometimes, and it's why you listen to this program. We really do examine pretty thoroughly a number of important topics.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, you know, whether the interviews that we recently did with Wisconsin veterans, historical topics, national politics, international news that isn't getting enough attention elsewhere, you can get the information you need right here. And it not just on the air, but online as well. We provide all sorts of support services for the programs that we have. This kind of substance is only possible with your support. It costs money to bring you this kind of quality. So make your contribution now at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, John, pledges have been coming in from $5 up through really multiple thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Consider joining the 9XM Leadership Circle with a gift of $100 or even $200 a month for the programming that is essential to your life. Make the leadership gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, a lot of people think that WPR operates largely with tax dollars. $5. And, you know, that was true in 1983 when they did the first pledge drive. Only 5% of our budget came from listeners at that time.
Really?
But, yeah, but now it's getting close to half. So, yes, we do still get tax dollars. But that's not the only thing we need. We get funding from the federal government and from the state, but listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income.
That means your support is vital to keeping us on the air. Now you know how important listener support is to WPR. Do something about it. Make a pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I have definitely bought some crazy clothes.
It's a little thing, you wind it up and it goes across the top of the table. She broke it in the first 5 seconds.
Silliest thing. It was Kahlua.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and we are asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, may I suggest, $10, $15 a month. We thank you very much for all of your contributions.
Well, when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, here's one thing that happens. You make your community a better place.
That's
because
true.
You're an engaged, informed citizen. When you give to Wisconsin Public Radio, you're multiplying the good that you do.
It's because WPR is listener supported, which means that your financial support is the foundation of our budget. Your support makes this incredible service available to you and the entire state. Pledge now, WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
So when you listen to WPR on your way to and from work every day, and some on the weekend, you're listening hundreds of hours a year.
Yes, it's a lot. And if you've never given to WPR before, make your gift today of $5 or $10 a month for hundreds of hours of listening. That makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains you'll find anywhere. Your gift, no matter what amount you choose, really does make a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So perhaps this is your first time listening to WPR during a pledge drive. Let me give you a little background. What does a pledge mean? Well, a pledge is a promise. We pledge to bring you great shows every day. You pledge to support them with a contribution of any amount.
You help pay the costs of the station, and we'll make sure that there's something interesting for you to listen to. We
Yay.
Promise. Yes, we do. It's our pledge. Now make yours. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And speaking of pledges, 25 is our magic number. That's the number we need to get before 2 o'clock this afternoon. So help us out now by being the next person to make a pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You could also ask for the WPR Day Pack while you're making your pledge.
I'd like one of those.
Yeah, I would too. So what's it look like?
Well, we're on the radio. I mean, what difference does it make?
Oh, you've got the power of the words.
I know.
Tell
it's,
us, John.
It's gray and black. It really makes a statement. And it could be formal with those colors. It's got the WPR and NPR logos. It's lightweight. It's perfect for everyday use. Someone claimed they could put a basketball in it. Show your pride for the radio you love with a gift of $15 a month or more. That's a one-time contribution of $180, if you like, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Be the first kid on your block with a WPR Day Pack.
Yeah, I like those. Those
yeah.
are good things.
Yeah.
Catherine Madison says, thank you. You guys rock.
Well, Catherine rocks, too.
Huh?
Yeah, we're having too much fun.
Right. Thanks, John.
Yep.
We're going to welcome phone calls. Craig Gilbert is our guest. It's All Things Political. We're a month away from this election, and we got tons of calls coming in, and we go to Diane in Menominee first for you, Craig. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Kathleen. My husband and I have a dilemma. We're both registered Republicans. We do not like either of the candidates that are in the run. And my husband feels we should vote for one of the independents that we kind of like. And I say that's a lost vote. We should vote for the best of the worst. And I'd like some discussion on that subject. I've heard both sides.
All right. And I know Craig has done some looking at Gary Johnson's appeal in Madison, particularly. What do you say to Diane? She's not alone, I think.
Well, I mean, she's not alone. And I've had that conversation with a lot of voters because it really comes down to, you know, how sort of pitting how you feel about your vote, you know, the person that you're casting your vote for, and your kind of cold clinical evaluation of the political impact of your vote. And I've had this conversation with lots of Republican voters. I mean, I'm sure there are Democratic voters who are conflicted as well, but there appear to be more undecided Republican voters right now, and some of them really have four options, right? You can stay home and not vote at all. You can vote for Donald Trump. You can vote for more than four options. You can vote for Hillary Clinton. You can vote for a third-party candidate like Gary Johnson, or you can skip over the presidential race but still go to the polls and vote for the Senate race and the other races on the ballot. And I think we're going to see people fit into every one of those categories. Probably not too many Republicans voting for Hillary Clinton in the end, because I think that's for many Republicans, I think that's a bridge too far. If that's how you feel and you can't bring yourself to vote for Hillary Clinton, then, you know, it's going to be between casting a vote for a libertarian candidate who obviously is not going to be our next president, knowing that, you know, you're kind of, you know, that decision itself has a political impact, just as not voting for president has a political impact. It's going to be fascinating to see, to count up the total number of presidential votes and on election day and see sort of how it compares to the number of votes cast for Senate, and also how it compares to 4 years ago, because this is a state that is known for turning out like mad, and we were actually one of the few states that turned out at a higher rate in 2012 than in 2008, the first Obama election. So it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of a fall off, if there is a fall off, what kind of a fall off there is in turnout.
Hmm. I was interested in your analysis of Dane County, which I know is a big Democratic area, along with Milwaukee. But Johnson is running number two now, ahead of Donald Trump in that county.
Yeah, he is. Now, it's not by much, and it's also, they're both way behind Hillary Clinton, but it's costing Hillary Clinton some support. I mean, she's in the high 50s, whereas you would normally expect a Democrat to be in the high 60s. At the same time, you know, you'd expect a Republican to be doing better than 15% in Dane County, which is kind of where Donald Trump is right now. So Gary Johnson is clearly taking votes away from both candidates. Probably Jill Stein and Gary Johnson combined, Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, together are probably costing Hillary Clinton more votes in a place like Dane County than they're costing Donald Trump votes in Dane County. But then there are other parts of the state where the reverse could be true. In the Wisconsin polling, it's not entirely clear whether the presence of these third-party candidates is going to hurt Hillary Clinton more than Donald Trump. I mean, when the polls have asked people, giving them a two-way choice, the margin is not really significantly different from when they're given a four-way choice. So that tells you that, at least based on the polling, that the third-party candidates aren't clearly hurting one candidate more than the other candidate. But that, you know, that still could happen in a close enough election. It would have to be a pretty close election in a state like Wisconsin on election day for us to be able to say, well, Gary Johnson cost so-and-so the election.
Right.
So the chances are we won't find ourselves in that situation, but it's a little unpredictable.
Diane, thanks for your call. Claire in Madison. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Kathleen. I do feel for that previous caller. I know that I'm a Democrat, and I know that if Donald Trump was a Democrat, there is no way I would vote for him. Because I can't go with my party over what's for the country. And Kathleen, I called to say I'm stunned that this man is even in two. Why would anybody vote for this man? He has no political experience, and he would be in charge of the most important, or the most influential anyway, country in the world. He's sexist. He's racist. He has scammed thousands, maybe millions of people. He lies. He's a narcissist, possibly a psychopath. This is like the emperor has no clothes.
Tell me about his base, Craig.
So, you know, I started talking to a lot of Republican voters during the primaries, and it was really interesting. You know, when Donald Trump was getting, he wasn't getting 60% of the Republican vote. He was getting, you know, 20, 30,
right.
or 40. And so everywhere you ran into voters who didn't like him, Republican voters, because they supported other Republican candidates. But it wasn't necessarily because they were conservative. It wasn't necessarily because they were moderate. They tended to be a little bit more educated, the anti-Trump Republican voters. But there was just something, there was kind of a dividing line, I don't even know how to define it, between the Republican voters who were who found Donald Trump's rhetoric and temperament disqualifying, and those who didn't. It was like a, just a kind of a difference in sensibility. And, again, it's hard to define that politically, but it just fascinated me during the primaries that you could have these conversations with voters, whatever their politics, the Republican voters, for whom Donald Trump, again, personality, temperament, rhetoric, for whom that was beyond the pale, and then another group, conservative or moderate Republicans, who either found it refreshing or just who didn't find it disqualifying. And that's a very personal thing, I think, for some voters, partly cultural, but it's also just kind of personal. And you still see it today where naturally, I mean, he's getting, obviously, the vast majority of Republican votes, but you still, but he's not quite where a Republican candidate would normally be in terms of partisan loyalty. So you still do have these conversations. I had them with a lot of voters in Waukesha who are just really laboring over the vote because they either, you know, they were either suspicious of Donald Trump politically, they weren't satisfied about his sort of conservative bona fides or his political depth and consistency, or, and or they had problems with his temperament and they were, and they just thought it was a risky choice. And so these are the people, not necessarily a majority of the Republican vote in places like Waukesha, but a sizable minority. These are the people that were really laboring over their vote and didn't like any of their options.
Hmm. Thanks, Claire, for the call. Do you want to comment briefly on the Supreme Court deciding not to take up the, well, to essentially kill the John Doe probe of Governor Scott Walker?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know all their reasoning because it was a sort of a terse decision,
right.
And so no detail. Some people thought that, I mean, I don't think anybody expected them to rule decisively in favor of the prosecutors, but some people thought they might make a finding on whether the judges, the state Supreme Court judges, should have recused themselves, the ones who received mm-hmm. support from the same groups that were involved in the case, and that didn't happen. So that was the one thing that there was some speculation, the one finding that didn't happen. But we don't know. That's all we know. Mm-hmm. It does put the matter to rest. I mean, it does, you know, the prosecutors have lost a series of legal cases at the state level and now at the federal level. So it really does sort of put this whole thing to rest. Well, I shouldn't say it puts the whole thing to rest because there's also, there has been litigation against the prosecutors. It's not entirely, I don't know whether that is has run, entirely run its course yet. And there's also, you know, politically, there continues to be fallout for people on both sides.
Craig Gilbert is our guest. He is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and you're listening to All Things Political here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Daniel in Mequon, our next caller. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
I'm a Ozaki, one of the Ozaki dissatisfied conservatives mentioned earlier. I don't think I'm going to vote outside of the state race. And something that was funny about the previous caller is that I thought she could have honestly been describing either candidate. It's really just a horrific mess on either side. But for me, normally I do lean nationally towards the left and try to support conservative stuff on the state side, but I got daughters and sisters, and when it comes to Hillary, I can't support someone who is essentially the grown-up version of a middle school online bully to other women.
And for Donald Trump, your objection to him is what?
You know, he's kind of the big angry fat kid at recess who picks on smaller people and nobody takes seriously because how could you?
Craig.
So just one interesting thing about that caller calling from Ozaukee County, which just happens to have had the highest turnout of any county in America 4 years ago. I mean, 85% of the legally eligible voters, we're talking about all citizens of voting age, not registered voters, but citizens of voting age, almost 85% turned out in that presidential race. I mean, that's the highest number for basically any mid-size or large county in America for which we have data. And that will be an interesting place to monitor the turnout on election day because it turns out at such extraordinary rates. And then, you know, to the caller's point about just sort of dissatisfaction with the choices, I mean, in Marquette's polling, 4 years ago, I mean, a lot of people a lot of Democrats are unhappy with the Republican nominee, and a lot of Republicans are unhappy with the Democratic nominee. But then there's people that are unhappy with both. And normally that's not a very big number because people are divided by party. But 4 years, and 4 years ago, only 5% of the registered voters in Wisconsin had a negative view of both nominees, which in that case were Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. Well, that 5% has grown to 25%. Mm. So it's five times bigger. And those are the people that have a negative view of both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. That's a pretty remarkable number.
Yes, it is. And we go to Jeff in Madison. Hello, Jeff.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm not quite willing to give the pass to the media that your guest claimed on the creation of Trump, that it was merely reporting on our system as it is. I think there were two Dr. Frankensteins in the lab here, and the first and most important was the winner-take-all Republican Party rule changes, which gave Trump, for instance, all 50 delegates in South Carolina, even though he won less than a third of the votes cast there, which is amazing. But I also have to say the media, as often the case, immediately or very quickly on started reporting it as in a bipolar way. In Iowa, for instance, second place Trump was much closer to third place Marco Rubio than he was to the winner Cruz in this, and yet the reporting quickly became bipolar Cruz-Trump race. So it was the Republican Party rules that have put us where we are. So they got what they wanted. They wanted to front load the leading candidate, and we've got that. But I have to look at the media reporting as well. And well, anyway, I'm interested in hearing what your guest has
to
say about it.
Thank you. Let me just clarify one thing. I'm not trying to give the media a pass, and I will absolutely say that the media is fair game and open to criticism. I have no doubt that there will be legitimate findings of fault in the way the media covered this campaign. There always are. My objection was to the formulation that the media allowed it to happen, which sort of suggests that the media could have sort of, quote, prevented this from happening, as if that itself is our role necessarily. And also, I think it does overlook some things. I mean, I think that I would wager to guess that Trump supporters are probably, now again, when we use the term media, we're talking about so many different things, it's hard to generalize. I mean, the media is so balkanized in this day and age that it's hard to say something that applies to all the media. But if we're talking about the, quote, mainstream media, I would guess that the people least likely to be influenced or swayed by mainstream media would be Trump supporters. And yes, on the horse race reporting, you can certainly find things that to question about the way the race was framed, but you can find them in any race. I mean, that's, you know, you could go back and look at any of the primaries in recent times, 4 years ago or 8 years ago, and you could quarrel with the way the horse race was reported at any particular point in time during those primaries. So that's, I mean, that always happens. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely, we're fair game. But I just am a little troubled by the formulation that the media
is at fault because it allowed Trump to happen.
Well, I'm wondering if you can, this will be the final question from me because we're in a pledge drive, but I'm wondering if you think, it's interesting to me that we're getting really substantive stories now, the New York Times, Donald Trump's taxes, Hillary Clinton, we have some things about the email, we don't really have a full examination of the Clinton Foundation. It seems as though the Trump, that the media has been not really digging hard enough on a lot of these stories. So we're getting some of them kind of at the last minute when we've had, you know, virtually a year and a half to really examine these people.
Yeah, and I don't know, because I wasn't involved in the reporting. I mean, there's been obviously some fantastic reporting done around some of these issues, including the foundations. I don't know how long it took to put those stories together. I don't know whether they could have been done sooner or not. I mean, one other thing that happened during the primaries that you know, on the Republican side was none of the Republican candidates. Some of this is driven by the candidates, not that the media can't and shouldn't do its own independent reporting, but one of the things that did happen in the Republican race was all the Republican candidates, the rivals of Trump, were reluctant to take Trump on because they thought they would just benefit someone else who was mm-hmm. a potential rival of Trump. So you had that kind of weird effect where none of the candidates wanted to go after Trump because they were all running to be the alternative to Trump. And I think that had an impact on the way some of these stories were reported early on. But I'm sure there were some stories that could have been done earlier, but I just don't know, not having been involved in the major stories, whether those are stories that could have been aired out 6 months ago or just took that long to report.
Yeah. Thanks, Craig, very much for being with us.
Okay, great to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you here. Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics, and we've got a month until the election. Believe you me, we're going to keep you informed, and then some, and then after the election. It's a very interesting election, to put it
it's a
mildly.
Target, it's a target-rich environment.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So your support in all the political topics that we do, we do plenty of them. Any amount will make a difference. Please give WPR.org 888-202-2552.
Keep all things political coming to you every Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock by making a contribution. We're looking for 19 of you to make a pledge in the next few minutes to help us stay on track for this hour and for the pledge drive. Make your donation now to support the programs you enjoy, programs like The Kathleen Dunn Show, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation about the election. Tomorrow we have David K. Johnston with us, who really broke the story. He wrote a book about Donald Trump's tax situation about a month ago, and he's written a piece for tomorrow that explains all of that. He'll be with us tomorrow because he likes doing the show. So these political conversations, our guests like them, you like them, they're interesting, and they're fairly important, actually, determining the direction of the country. Please take a few minutes to make this hour and many more possible. Choose a gift amount that's okay for you. Make your pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So maybe you can make a 9XM leadership contribution of $100 a month or more. Well, listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for this service, and 9XM members are an important part of that picture.
So help us grow with a leadership gift, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So now, Kathleen, when you become a sustainer, here's what happens. You choose a monthly gift amount and set it up to come from your bank account or credit card. And I just want to point out Michael in Oconomowoc, who says, thank you, WPR. I became a sustaining member this year. I've never been happier. So, Kathleen, we helped Michael in Oconomowoc be happy.
Happier.
Our work here is done. Let's go have some coffee. Well, Michael, thank you. And so many others of you who've made sustaining gifts, you know that this gift will continue for as long as you'd like.
You said pie, too.
Yeah, pie.
Pie and coffee.
There you go.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you so informed. It is when you think about it. Both John and I have been in radio a long, long time.
Longer than we'd both like to admit,
probably.
Yeah, it's
a long time. But when you think about this service, it is just, there's just nothing comparable. We've got all these shows. We've got Joy Cardine's show, Larry Mueller's show, Zorba Pastor on Your Health, Chapter a Day. How many stations read books to you, for heaven's sake? It's wonderful.
We're it. We're the only one.
We're the only one.
WPR truly is a unique service. We give you a window on the world like nobody else. So support this exciting mix of the shows you enjoy on this radio station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we'd like to get things rolling, John. We'd like 19 more pledges before 2 o'clock. We can do that
if you make
your gift to support us and all of the programs that you rely on. It's easy. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, sometimes it seems like whatever we do, we get less than we pay for. But Wisconsin Public Radio is an example of where you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is the one place where that's true every single day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
You know, it's hard to buy very much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day, think about that, $2 a day creates a lot of learning and news.
That's learning, news, all the other services, the great shows that you get day in and day out, 365 days a year, 366 in leap year, 24 hours a day. We're here for you, and we need you to be here for us. We need 19 more of you to make a pledge in the next few minutes. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really does help.
And this pledge drive, you can ask for the WPR Day Pack. It's a handy bag. It's got both the WPR and NPR our logos, and it's yours for a mere $15 a month or more. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And it's a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, John. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. They really make a difference. They really do. WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is the number. So nice to have you here in Milwaukee, John. Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Very good guy. He's a good radio guy, too. Coming up next hour, first let me thank K.P. Whaley for producing the hour and K.P. Whaley for on-air production. Tomorrow is the DMV. I think the answer is yes, misinforming residents about voter ID requirements in Wisconsin.